one day at a time, with its failures and fears, with its hurts and mistakes, with its weakness and tears, with its portion of pain and its burden of care. One day at a time we must meet and must bear. One day at a time to be patient and strong, to be calm under trial and sweet under wrong. Then its toiling shall pass and its sorrow shall cease. It shall darken and die and the night shall bring peace. One day at a time. But the day is so long and the heart is not brave and the soul is not strong. O thou loving Christ, be thou near all the way. Give courage and patience and strength for the day. Swift cometh his answer, so clear and so sweet. Yea, I will be with thee, thy troubles to meet. I will not forget thee, nor fail thee, nor grieve. I will not forsake thee. I never will leave. Don't you love the positive statements given to us in the Scripture? Just again and again, the Lord cheers us up. If you want a good shot in the arm, a good word that will just cheer you and lift you up, read the Word of God. Read the Scripture, where the Lord says, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. I won't forget you. A mother may forget her nursing child, but I will not forget you. The Apostle Paul said, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. But Isaiah said it even better. He said, I will trust and not be afraid. There's a lot in the Bible about trusting. Old and New Testaments, trusting in the Lord, leaning not on the arm of flesh, trusting not in your own self-confidence and goodness, but putting your trust in God, trusting the Lord, leaning on the everlasting arms. I will trust in thee, O Lord. May I never be put to shame or brought to confusion. O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I will trust in thee, O Lord. Lean not upon thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The reason we become frustrated, the reason we ever become discouraged or down, is because we fail to trust God. When our hand is in God's hand, we need fear nothing. We need worry about nothing. Spiritual problems, financial pressures, interpersonal relationships, we need be frustrated by nothing. When our trust is in God and we know that we walk with him. So in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust.
In God we trust, with all our heart and soul. In God we trust, who reach our righteous goal. In
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me till some day I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. I love the words of this song, which certainly express my emotions and my affections for the Lord. I don't want to just embrace religion and belong to a church. There's no warmth in that. I want to be in love with the lover of my soul. I want Jesus to become my everything, and he is. I can truthfully say that the Lord Jesus Christ is my everything. I love him more than anyone or anything in all this world. And I know that he loves me. And I'm sure that many of you can share and express the same affection and the same feelings. It's something more than just belonging to this church or that, embracing this dogma, this creed, going to this particular church or the other. It's more than that. Is having a personal, saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving him, having Christ to dwell in your heart by faith, and not trying to argue and debate the points of theology, but just being everything God wants you to be. A lot of people fuss and argue about religion. Never ceases to amaze me, but it's always been true, down through the centuries. You know, people have been burned at the stake thinking that they were doing God a service, that they were just burning heretics and people who were false prophets and teachers. And so many of those that they executed and threw to the lions and burned at the stake were true men and women of God who loved the Lord. That's how mixed up people have been. Well, Jesus told us that that would happen. He said, you will be persecuted, some of you will be put to death, and those who do it will think they do God a service. People have always called good evil and called evil good. They have always got it all mixed up. That's why we need to live close to the Lord and not follow our own thinking, but keep our minds open, keep our hearts open, and always be praying, Lord, teach me your will and your ways. I don't want to fuss religion or debate it. I want to live it. I want to walk with God. It's all the fussing and debating and arguing that splits churches and divides friends and ruins the lives of many and calls them to make shipwreck. We need to quit all that stuff. And just love Jesus with all of our hearts and love our brother and our neighbor as ourselves. Anyway, the Lord said, those are the two greatest commandments. And on those two commandments hang all the other commandments. And what are the two? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy strength and mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we could do that, everything else would fall in place. Now, I'm not saying for one moment that dogma and creed and theology is not important. Of course it is. We need to know where we stand. And the Bible says, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. And I think that we need to know where we stand on every issue in every area. And not just where we stand, but what the Bible has to say about it. But at the same time, after your mind is made up and you think you've got all the answers of what the Bible says about every subject and every topic, then along with that, be sure that you keep those two most important commandments, and that is loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor with all your heart. And then we will never come across as religious bigots or narrow-minded or argumentative or difficult to get along with. When God's love fills our hearts and we really care for each other, then I'll be able to walk harmoniously with Christian brothers and sisters who may not even agree with me theologically on every point, yet we can walk hand in hand as long as we agree on this, that the only door into heaven is through Jesus Christ our Lord and a saving faith and knowledge of Him, and we lean upon Him only for our soul salvation, then wherever else we may disagree, we can certainly walk in sweetest of fellowship and harmony. When our hearts are right with God and we're filled with His love, and we love God with all our heart and soul and mind, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, Jesus has done so much for us. Why wouldn't we love Him? Yes, we need to love our church. We need to appreciate our church. And I certainly do. But it's more than just the church building. And it's more than just the things we do whereby we worship God with the organ and the piano and the robed choir. And the formality of worship is more than that. True worship is the heart reaching out to God, whether that be on a Sunday morning or if it be this morning, right now. True worship is the heart reaching out to God, giving expression of adoration, exaltation, praise to Him. So I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Him. I love Him, appreciate Him, and really desire to give to Him everything that I am. And I'm sure that there are many of you listening out there in that unseen audience that feel exactly the same way. You want to be fully, totally, completely surrendered to Jesus, withholding nothing, but surrendering all to Him.
Oh,
reason I can say I love him is because I believe him to be divine, the Son of God, not just some good, great man who lived centuries ago here on this earth and attained to a very high standard of holiness and righteousness more than any other person who ever lived. I believe him to be more than that, just someone who lived a good, clean life and is a good example to follow. That's not good enough. I believe him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, the promised Messiah, born of the Virgin Mary. A lot of people don't think that's important. I've never understood that. I've never understood how anyone could deny the miracle of the virgin birth. And to say that that is not so, or it doesn't really matter, that's not important. Well, it is this important. If the story of the virgin birth given to us in the scripture is not true, that would make Jesus a fanatic, an extremist, a phony. Not someone that you would want to follow. It would also mean that his disciples were deceived. They misunderstood. And the Christian religion would be a farce. No, the virgin birth is certainly one of the cornerstones of Christianity. And that miracle of the incarnation, I don't understand it, and I can't explain it. How the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and that was conceived of her was of the Holy Ghost. And when Jesus was born, he was man and God. No, I don't understand that. Of course it's a mystery, but with all my heart I believe it. And that is the only reason that I can say I love Jesus with all my heart and soul, and I want to follow him and give him everything that I am. I wouldn't say that about any man, no matter how great he is. I wouldn't say ever, Abraham Lincoln was so great, I'm going to give my soul, my heart to him and follow him wherever he goes. Because even men like Lincoln and Washington or Billy Graham or anybody else has feet of clay. But in Jesus, there is no fault. He is totally without blemish, without blame, tempted at all points such as we, yet without sin, because he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to this miracle again recorded in the Gospel of Luke. I never grow tired of reading it or hearing it. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered in her mind what manner of greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Those beautiful, matchless words are recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. The annunciation of Jesus' birth. Without that miracle, Christianity is a farce. certainly it is not worth following. That's why it is so important for us to embrace the miracle of the incarnation. Christ, who was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. The miracle of Bethlehem. With all my heart and soul, I embrace it. I believe it. And that's why I can talk about Jesus and say things like, he is a beautiful Savior. I love him with all my heart because I believe him to be God incarnate in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Savior I love, the Savior I follow. What a beautiful Savior, Christ the Son of God. Let's give our hearts to him totally. I give him my burdens, he gives me his blessings. I give him my trials, he gives me his patience. I give him my sorrow, he gives me his strength. I give him my blindness, he gives me his light. I give him my cold heart, he gives me his love. I give Christ my all, and he gives me heaven. Oh friend, if you're not walking with God, come home. Come home to him, he calls
softly
you.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me.
If you're not a Christian, if you haven't turned your life over to him, right now, wherever you are, Just humble your heart before God and pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give myself to you. Forgive me my sins. And trust Him for your soul's salvation. And let the peace of heaven flood your soul right now. Right now.
Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home.
I've enjoyed being with you so much. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. May God's very best be yours. Walk close to Him. That's the only way to live, isn't it?
Promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling.